Would appreciate an interest in your prayers. Had originally thought about speaking out of Isaiah chapter 62, and it talks about, it makes a comparison in reference to the church very much. But I think that if the Lord would bless us, we'll look at Psalm 27 and Psalm 28, specifically a few verses there. Before we say that, I will share with you that we had a great service. The Lord richly blessed us last Saturday in New Mexico, and Sister Nicole Lowry was there. Her son brought her. Her heart is still very heavy in the passing of Brother Gerald, who she'd been married to over 50 years, and asked that you pray for her. It was good to see her again. Lord blessed our little service in New Mexico. In Psalms chapter 28, there's a portion of verse 7 that says, "My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped." My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. What does our heart really trust in? We can look at our time, we can look at our thoughts, we can look at our actions, and it's going to tell us, it will reveal to us what our heart will trust in. Some folks trust in tradition. I'm thankful for the old paths. I believe that we're supposed to walk in them. But that's not where we're supposed to put our trust. The old Hopewell Church, just about 2 hours north of us, next week will recognize that it was constituted 300 years ago. But over the last 20 or 30 years, it's sadly ceased to meet. We might trust in tradition and think that that's where it's at. It's because granddad did it this way. I'm thankful for grandparents, thankful for great-grandparents. But if we put our trust in tradition, in heritage, we're going to travel far enough and long enough that we're going to be disappointed. We might put our trust in our own abilities. We may feel like we've reached a certain level, we've attained a certain status, we've attained a certain position, maybe financially. If you're real secure and you're real safe, you might be able to get 1% on your money. That's real encouraging, isn't it? You want to trust in something like that? We may want to trust in some of the things that we've been blessed with. But yet it's amazing how that God explains to us that it can be just like putting it into a bag with holes in it, and you can have more holes in the bottom of the bag. Anybody ever use Walmart bags? You try to put anything of substance in there, and you get one hole here, one hole there, and you think, well, I'll double bag it or triple bag it. Ever done that? You still end up with holes in it. And he says that if we're foolish, if we're not wise, that our provisions that God can give us and bless us, that the hole in the top is not as wide as the holes in the bottom, and that it goes out faster out of the bottom than it can go in the top. So we're taught that we surely don't trust in provisions. Doesn't mean that we're not supposed to work, but we're supposed to trust in the one that does give us the provisions. We might be tempted to trust in our health. Last week I was around folks that in my family in Texas and in New Mexico, and my mom was sick, my dad was sick, my sister was sick, and I was just breezing through, and wasn't touched by it, and I thought, boy, that's great. I must have eaten right, or I must have gotten enough rest, or something like that. And I'm telling you, it was within less than 24 hours after I said that, or even to myself mentally, that I was worse than any of the rest of them were. You don't trust in your own health. You don't trust in your own ability. You may find somebody that you put your trust in. It's a blessing to have godly mothers and godly fathers and godly sisters and godly brothers. And what a great blessing that is. And they can be a great encouragement along the way. It's a great blessing to have godly church members. But I tell you, if you solely put your trust and belief that the church is built upon the church members, you're going to end up being disappointed. Just recently was sharing with a brother about a church that's struggling and was made aware of a family that's a very strong family in my thoughts that's moving away, and how that's going to be devastating to the little body that's still remaining. Even the church itself cannot trust in the ability or strengths of others that are around. It can be a blessing, and God uses people and God blesses people. But anytime we get our sights and our sights and our focus off of the one true and living God, we're going to be greatly disappointed. Here's what the psalmist said. He said, I needed some help. I needed some strength. I needed to be encouraged. Anybody here that ever needs any help of any sort, maybe you need some help just changing your thinking. Anybody here ever need that? You ever need to pray that God would change your thinking even before you get to the house of the Lord? I don't know about you, but Satan will work on me, and he'll do double time on Sunday morning. He will. And he'll throw obstacles in the way, and he'll throw things in the way to get me off track, or to get my thinking off, or to get it in the wrong direction. I heard one minister say, he said, when I'm studying the Word, he said, Satan will distract me, even if it's to the point of get up and to cause me to get up and to adjust a mini blind to get my thinking away from the Word of God. Oh, you think of all the things that need to be done. Well, sure, they need to be done. They do. But what needs to be done the most? It's having your heart and your mind right with the Lord. And one of the best ways that we can do it is to be with the Lord's people and in the Lord's house. There's nothing else that will take the place of that. There's some good seconds, but all of them are second. They're not first. If they were, in Matthew, he would have reworded it where he said, seek ye first. He would have said second, third, or fourth. But it's first in our life. When we're in the house of God, if God blesses the preaching, if God blesses us with a hearing ear, if God blesses, it oftentimes resets our thinking. Sister Karen Evers gave me a little mini computer course one time. I don't really enjoy computers. I'll do it. I can turn them on and turn them off, and I can send emails and most of the time read them. Poor Jeremy sent me some I've not responded to, and I apologize if you've sent me some that I haven't. I don't enjoy computers. Some of you can tear them apart and put them back together. But Sister Karen Evers taught me, I said, it does. I can almost look at it and it'll freeze up. And she said, whenever that happens, she said, you hit Control Alt Delete. Anybody ever hit that? And it resets everything. Hopefully without having to turn it off and reboot it or take it to the Geek Squad or any place like that. But did you know that coming to the house of God is just like hitting Control-Alt-Delete? It resets our thinking. It resets our thinking. God knows that Satan is not going to give us an easy road this next week. He's going to attack us. He's going to throw his fiery darts. He's going to try to discourage you. I'm pretty sure he will. He's going to try to discourage you. And if he can discourage you, he can almost paralyze you. Pretty good possibility. I'm not a gambler. I'm not a bettor. But I can assure you that if Satan has a little window of time, he's probably going to attack you. But did you know that the house of God should strengthen you? It should reset your thinking and it should reset your focus. One of the things that Satan does to draw us away from God is he attempts to steal our time. He does. He says that normally, generally, usually, we're blessed with 60. 60, that's 60. 10 is 70. You may say, well, I'm past that. Well, you're blessed. He says, and if by reason of strength, 80. But he says, usually that 80, if you make it to 80, he says, there's much labor and much sorrow. And you know what? You can look at it, and usually that's the case. You may be here, and you may be saying, well, I'm past 80, and I don't have all those health issues that it's talking about in the Scriptures. In fact, he says in Ecclesiastes, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth before the evil days draw nigh. He describes old age as the evil days. It's not like what you see on television about the golden years. I had one sister that she said when I reached 75, she said, I wondered what happened to all those golden years that I thought I was supposed to have. But you only have just a certain measure of time. And if you really just base it on 70 years, you may be blessed with 80 or 90. I told Brother James Rourke last night when we loaded up in the van, I said, the first rows are reserved for the 90-year-olds. We had several 90-year-olds that went to Columbia last night. We can't really count on 90 or 100. About 70. Shared with you that Brother Tom Franklin has an app on his phone that can tell you how many days left you have to live if you live to be 70 years old, and it's very discouraging. Because if you look at the app, it'll tell you how many days you've already lived compared to how many days you have left, and it's just real discouraging. Don't encourage that app at all. But how are you going to spend it? Maybe you've got 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Maybe you'll be like Sister Perry and live to be nearly 100 and have all those years, but how are we going to spend it? Are we going to spend it trusting in all the things around us or all the things that are behind us? Are we going to pray that God will take these weak little feeble, measly, Mickey Mouse sinners that we are and bless us to spend what time we have left thinking on Him? Doesn't mean that we don't go to work. Doesn't mean we don't provide for our families. Doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean that we look to the Lord. Did you know what? He'll never disappoint you. Do you know what? He'll never forsake you. Here's what it says, the psalmist says. He says, the Lord is my strength. Well, I can just hear him saying it. I don't think he gets up there and kind of just hem-haws around about it. He just gets up there and he says, boy, I'm telling you, the Lord, He is my strength. and He's yours too. He says, the Lord is my strength. And He says, and He is my protection. He's my shield. Did you know that you can do the best job you can to protect your children? And it's disappointing, but Satan can get his foot in the door. Doesn't mean that you don't try and do everything possible. But David says, the Lord, He's my strength. And he says, He's also my shield. He is my protection. He says, the Lord's my strength. He's my shield. And he said, my heart trusted in Him. And he says, and I am helped. You ever get to the point that you pray to the Lord and you don't know what to pray for, but you do know this. You know that you need help. Maybe you know that there's somebody else that needs help. Maybe there's somebody in your family that it burdens your heart. Maybe you see the course that they're going. Maybe you see it's grieving your soul. You're burdened about the direction that they're going. And you may not know exactly what all that they need. You may think you know, but you know that they need help. Well, I'm telling you, there is one that can help. He says right here, my heart trusted in Him. And he says, and the end result is, I'm helped. I'm helped. He says, therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. When you're helped, you sort of forget about yourself. When you're helped, it even puts your problems in perspective. It even puts your challenges in perspective when you're helped, when the Lord helps you. He says, I'm helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise Him. He says in verse 8, the Lord is their strength, and He is the saving strength of His anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance, and feed them also, and lift them up forever. Excellent psalm. Let's go through briefly Psalm 27. It reiterates the summary of what David says in Psalm 28. The Lord is my light, and He's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord. He's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Is there anyone that you're afraid of? Is there any fear that you have? It may be a certain segment of your life. It may be something you're facing at work. He says, we're not to be afraid. We're not to fear because we're to put our trust and our strength in the Lord. I'm sure that with these young couples that are having these newborn babies, there's a whole lot of things that Satan could throw up in your mind to cause you to be afraid of. But here he says, you put your trust and your hope and your strength in me. And he says, I'll wipe away that fear. He says, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Verse 4, David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. I believe that that's referring to the militant body of the church, and that's this little group of folks right here. Did you know that he describes it as the joy of the whole earth? Beautiful for situation is Mount Zion. He says it's the joy of the whole earth. You say, this little group of folks? Yes, when the Lord is here. When the Lord blesses the singing and the preaching and the fellowship, it's the greatest place on earth. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David says, it's my desire that I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. The best way to see the beauty in the Lord's house is to be in the Lord's house. Brother Jeremy's counting on May 17th being a beautiful day because he wants to go to the river and be baptized. And he wants to live, not just admire it from the outside, but he wants to live it and experience it on the inside. Then he says, for in time of trouble, anybody ever have any trouble? Anybody ever had any financial trouble? You say, well, I'm sure he doesn't help in those areas. But you know what? He does. Anybody ever had any health trouble? See, I really thought I'd have my body and my mind and my health into an old age. Something's changed. Anybody ever have any family trouble? He says, in time of trouble, He will hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. And He says, He doesn't even say He's going to cover me up. He says He's going to set me up on a rock. The rock that we're set upon, that we're established upon, is Jesus Christ. The rock that we're in is Jesus Christ. And Satan, all he can pester us, but he can't take us out of the hand of our loving Heavenly Father. And now he says, my head shall be lifted above my enemies round about me. When you're overwhelmed with your enemies, you can't imagine it being lifted above your enemies, can you? He says, round about me, therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises unto the Lord. Interesting here. He says, in His tabernacle. He doesn't say, I'll offer sacrifices, I'll set it home, and I'll pray for the tabernacle. Or, I'll send a check to help with the tabernacle. Or I'll give them a call every once in a while. He says that in His tabernacle, therefore will I offer up His tabernacle sacrifice of joy. I will sing, yea, I'll sing praises unto the Lord. Some folks, I don't know how this develops, but we get in our mind that singing is really not a part of the worship service. It's really just used as a time for us to get to church. He gives us instruction here that singing is part of the service. It is. My doctor's down at Johns Hopkins, and I hate to go to the doctor unless I'm sick, and then I'm ready to go. I hate to take medicine. Now, next week I may have to start, but I thank the Lord that I don't take anything on a regular basis, and I give the Lord 100% of the credit for that. Now, I may have to start next week on that. But if I have a doctor's appointment, did you know that I adjust everything else around that doctor's appointment so that I can be there when that time is there? Because if I'm not there, did you know they'll give it to somebody else? They will. And of all the absurd things that they could do, they've now passed a regulation that if you don't fulfill your doctor's appointment when you're supposed to, they have the right to bill you anyway, to charge you. Now, can you believe that? When we have an opportunity to worship the Lord and to be in the Lord's house, shouldn't I take it a lot more serious than going to my doctor? Listen. He's the great physician. Now, I don't want to step on any toes, but I've stepped on my own already. if there's a... I'm not going to step on anymore, so... He says in verse 11, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You may say, well, I didn't have the best of mothers or the best of fathers. But did you know what? You really do. Because you've got the Heavenly Father. You may say, my dad missed the mark, or my mom missed the mark, or they weren't there when I needed them. But did you know that he says that when my father or my mother forsake me, it's rare. He says, then the Lord, He'll take me up. He says, you may think that your father or your mother may have forsaken you, maybe in your upbringing, maybe in encouraging you, maybe in instructing you to be a godly wife, a godly husband, a godly child. He says, you may think that they've missed the mark. They may have even actively have forsaken you. But he says, the Lord will never forsake you. He says, your father forsake you, your mother forsake you. But he says, the Lord is there to hold you up. You've got a Heavenly Father that is perfect. My, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you come to the house of the Lord rejoicing and on the mountaintop, but we ought to at least always leave rejoicing, being reminded of who our Heavenly Father is and what we have in Christ. He says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. How many of us need a plain path? Everything that's shown to me has to be real plain. Because I'm real hard-headed and I'm real dense and it takes a whole lot to get in. It has to be real, real plain. And David said, Lord, just make it plain. Don't make it complicated. Would you show me a plain path and make it easy and make it simple? And that's what he does. He says, teach me thy way, O Lord, make it... Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. He says, don't deliver me over to mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me and such that breathe out cruelty. And then David said, I would have fainted. That's the same thing as saying, I'd have pitched in the towel. I would have given up. I wouldn't have finished the course. I wouldn't have finished the race. I wouldn't have accomplished it. I wouldn't have finished the role of parenting, the role of being a wife, a godly wife, a godly husband. I wouldn't have been a faithful church member. I wouldn't have been a follower of Christ. He said, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then he steps back and he tells us. He says, wait on the Lord. Doesn't mean that you don't do something. I'm a firm believer that we're actively doing while we're waiting on the Lord. I believe we're looking to the Lord, but we're just as actively pursuing every avenue and opportunity the Lord gives us, but we're waiting on the Lord. Lord, would you direct my path? Would you open the door? Would you give me clear direction? Lord, would you make it plain? Lord, let me see your hand in it. Would you direct me, Lord? I've gotten so old now, so old enough that now I pray that the Lord would give me the strength. I used to never pray for strength because I had plenty of it. Now, just to get up in the morning, sometimes I'll say, Lord, would you help me? I don't know, maybe I'm the only one here that has to do that. But I still want to get up. He says, I'd fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. And he says, wait, I say, wait on the Lord. I believe when we're waiting upon the Lord is we're looking to the Lord as we're journeying here in this life. It doesn't mean that we just stop, we stand still, we go backwards. It means we're looking to the Lord every step of the way to direct our path and praying that He'll make it plain. And the psalmist says, if you'll put your strength and trust in Him, he says, it helped me. And you know what? It'll help you too. It sure will. May God bless you.